here in Haiti, but they say also that the Dominicans, you know, are very advanced, you know, in the process of corruption. Mm. You know, some friend of mine said that if Haiti is on the 12th, a page of on the book or in the book of corruption, the Dominicans are in the cover, right? So, but the more corrupted people, you know, are the Haitian people that they were. But with Collier, he said, no, no longer. It's no longer like that. You know, we have to help them through the industry, the assembly industry, you know, the textiles business, that you have to build a zone franche. We say that.
Free trade zones,
right? And things like that. After Collier, we have Clinton. Clinton was the big, big gun, right? You know, to promote the Collier report, right? And here we have this change of government, you know, with Michel, who wanted to, what those who were before, you know, wanted to.
Yeah, they were,
yes.
No,
that's what they said, you know, and they said that they want to alleviate, yeah, but that's the right word, poverty alleviation, right? But through growth, this growth, yes, should be given, you know, should result from international trade and the assembly factories industries.
But really they just want cheap labor.
Exactly. And as I was going to say, it was one of the points that I should call your attention.
Just to go back to the first page, what happened with the indigenous people? Were there any survive?
Well, no. They are the big absent ones, you know, in the picture, indeed. Yeah. But they are present. I'm going to revive them. The colors, I mean.
They have descendants,
huh?
Living. They have descendants.
Yes, that's what I'm going to say now. That the in a different series. I was open to some questions, you know. It was difficult to get all in times. Yeah. But thanks to your question, it allows, you know, to say that we have the slaves. After independence, the slaves wanted to get access to land. But the mulattoes, the franchise family, the former slave owners, keep them out of the of land ownership. So they were obliged to deviate from the law, right? With the complicity of the landowners. The landowners could not valorize work their land because they did not have the sheep labor, and the former slaves, you know, wanted to get access to land. So they concocted something, right? Your magouille. Just a tune.
I know Creole, but in English, it's like not a trader, but a two-face. Magouille, two-face.
Magouille, that is business, dealing, you know, bad deals, you know, mainly, you know, like in drug trafficking, you know, that we are doing business like that. Okay? So they can get access three or four for a piece of land that is considered like the minimum, you know, that they can get access to. But by one, by himself could not have enough money. So they put together in four. You know, there is a way for the public notary to write that, you know. Anyway, there is a simulated selling. Right? The owners said, okay, I'm selling to George, but behind George there are Jacques, Manuel, you know, and things. Okay? That's how they get access to land, some of them. I can come back to that later. But anyway, They said by the end of the 19th century, let's say there is a year in 1883, there was a survey made by general. The census. And it's they see or they discovered, no, we see. We read them as from that census, we have all the main characteristics. Rasgos, the main trait, with characteristics.
Racial traits.
Exactly, you know, of the society that we got. Right now, we got all the characteristics that the same society. And it was those peasants, that they are no peasants, that the peasants are former slaves. They wanted to build a society for themselves. And then came the American occupation, expelling some of them from the lands that they have to get their plantations.
What year was that, the American occupation?
From 1915 to 1934, right? And you got them peasants in the countryside. Yeah, that's the word I've been looking for, countryside. Okay? And you have the sons of those peasants living in the slums, you know, of Port-au-Prince and Cape Haitien and things like that, giving birth to the worker mass, right? Because it was among the people from the slums, the bidonville, that the industry, the assembly industry, got most of their people, right? So
the urban poor.
Yeah. The former slaves became peasants, living under the system that I described, the feudal system. Secondly, in the urban area, you have the sons of those peasants becoming workers and people working. Working, K-I-N-G, you know, in whatever activities. There they are. And what happened in 1986 is the entering on the political scenery of these former slaves. Right? That's why 1986 is so important, because it means a possibility of change into the system. Because those peasants are also at the same time those who are providing all the economic surplus to the dominant system or subsystem, the capitalist subsystem. The impoverishment came from that, because you have a lot of resources being taken by the urban people at the expense of the peasant classes. So, first thing. Secondly, you have these formations or this exploitation of the worker classes by those economic elite, right? So you have what we call bourique travail.
Donkey work.
Yeah. And the horses, you know, get the gallons, you know, or the meters, right?
The horses get the medals, you know, they're the higher class, and then there's the donkeys.
That's this thing. We have the bourique who are working, the donkeys who are working. They are workers, they are peasants, they are people in the slums, right? And on the other side, you have this Shual, the BAM people, and their allies, you know, in the political classes. Look at it, more or less. That's the broad schemes of the situation.
Wow.
It sounds as though the economy in Haiti is similar to other poor countries around the world, where the profits go to the banks, the importers, mm-hmm. the utilities, the merchants, and sometimes maybe manufacturers, mm-hmm. and they're mostly from abroad. But in Haiti, because it was independent for so long, independent power came to families, mm-hmm. and so these outsiders pretty much have to work through local families.
Mm-hmm.
So it adds another layer of elite and profit, mm-hmm. between the work and the peasants who do the work.
Exactly. And you have this elite of gens d'affaires, people of business, who monopolize or who get all the industrial activities, all the trade activities, all the banking services, you know, gathering all for themselves.
More than in, say, Nigeria, where the outside companies come in and they own things themselves, mm-hmm. and they take all the profit. Mm-hmm. And there is no local family, there is no local elite.
In Nigeria?
In Nigeria, mm-hmm. and most poor countries, yeah. they get their share.
Yeah.
Here, the rich families get their share. In most of the world, yeah. South America, yeah. the extraction companies just come in, grab the land, open the mines, and take the money for themselves. Here, they have to share it
yeah.
with the
families. But, the system, as I said, is extraverted. So they don't invest here. They invest outside.
But they never invest in the local market.
Yeah, but
they only move their money back and forth to
exactly,
speculate
you know,
the money off
and
the currency.
And we said trades. That it's the resurgence, the re-emerging of this behavior that we had during the colonial period, where you had this class of slave owners, mainly from the metropole, you know, exporting or taking money, you know, or milking the cow, right? They are doing the same thing, not thinking about what is going in the country. They don't mind about the country, nor the people living in this country.
They just use the World Bank and the IMF to get money out.
But they had imposed to the IMF enough conditions so that all the private bank can export directly their monies or invest
right.
it, you know,
free move to limit our currency
right?
going out.
And
so please, I just want to check for myself. What is it? The appearance to me is that the families of the Big Ten that are Syrian came in the 30s mm-hmm. and the 40s. That although they have made some alliances with the local mulatto class through mm-hmm. intermarriage, they've also remained somewhat homogenous, meaning that the core of them still remains of their own nationality.
Yes,
yeah.
yes. And that's what we had, you know, with Aristide and things like that. Because there was like a nomenclature, you know, or nomenclatura, mm-hmm. yeah? They were those people through which you have to pass to get into doing business in Haiti, right? And they had been controlling everything. So I think that's as you are in any task, you know, you have an introduction, you have the corpse, you know, of the subject, and we are going to the conclusion later. So
what does it mean, though, if you've got a class that can control the exchange rate by putting more dollars in or taking dollars out of the market, mm-hmm. what does it mean then when you establish a minimum wage, un salaire minimum, 150 quarts? Because one day it can be $3.57 US, but if you pull money out, dollars out of the market, and the quart goes down, it can be less. Or the good goes up,
yes.
then the minimum wage will be less than
exactly.
what you
said. That's the real value of the minimum wage, you know, is nose diving itself.
Yeah.
You know? So you have a widening between the nominal value of money, you know, and its real value. You know, the gap is widening. You know? And the thing that is important is that in the system, they don't put any dollars. They took the dollars and they send it outside, you know, into their private account and things like that. Right?
So for the minimum wage issue, because they always say in the news, oh, we're going to set the new minimum wage at $2.50 mm-hmm. US a day, but it would be more meaningful for them to actually fix like a Bretton Woods gold standard. They said, we will pay $3 US a day. Mm-hmm. That would be a more meaningful minimum wage than 150 gold, because it's
$3 as a minimum wage was what was possible in 1986 yeah. when Duvalier left. Yeah. It was already possible. $3 US, you know. Then. And now we are living, you know, under the $1, you know, a day salary.
So
right?
International aid. In City Soleil, we're hearing, you know, they say they're giving all this money. We're not seeing anything.
I heard a representative lamentation, you know, that when we are promised, there is a pledge of $20 million, you know, on the budget of 1908. They said that we wrote down, you know, 20 million. But since those millions were not given, they had to report it on 209, you know, 20 million, right? And that gave the people, you know, the citizens, the impression that every year we are getting richer, you know, of 20 more million. And it was false promises, right? And there was something also that you have to see. All these aid monies, they transit here through NGOs. And those NGOs are giving, you know, I don't know, some rest. When you eat, when you finish to eat,
leftovers.
You know what is
the
leftovers.
The
crumbs, you know.
The crumbs, yeah.
That's the way it is. And they, according to their strategy, is through those NGOs that they have to act. They don't confide at all. They don't trust, you know, the states, the government. So they said that they give us any amount, but not to the Haitian government, but through the NGOs that they control. And then, you know, the states, the government is being kept aside.
Yeah.
And that is one of the main characteristics of the Plan Collier. You know? Collier. There's a plan. Collier.
Paul Collier's
plan. Collier. You know? That was the plan. Everything should be done through, not even by the national elite, but by the international community, through these land investors and things like that. And providing services to public services, but not through the government of Haiti, you know?
Not even under Profile or Duvalier or anyone.
They
I
said
it was just Aristide they didn't want the money to.
So they never given the aid to the government?
Not really. But except when we get substantial help, you know, it's true from government to government, it's from Venezuela, you know. We have direct help, you know, from Cuba, but materials, you know, with doctors, people helping in literacy programs, things like that, more direct going to the people. So what I mean is that this foreign aid is not, don't reach really the people, right? Since there is a relay, something in between with the NGOs.
So where does it go?
In the pocket of the NGOs. Anything. Even the experts from the United States too.
Expense accounts.
They said that for any $100 given, 80% go back to the source.
Yeah.
Oh.
What about the debt money, the debt that was canceled, the debt that the government no longer would have to pay to the IDB? How is that money now being spent?
Let me. I don't see it.
Can you name some of these NGOs?
Pardon me? No, I hear what you said. I've been trying, you know, but I don't see it, you know. But it does exist somewhere, written.
On paper. I mean, it's not that much money. 80 really didn't have that big a debt, but still,
it's, you know, but it's really what,
or is it used to build
what we need, what we need. There is an alternative now. That's, I'm moving to the conclusion now, right? Because it's the perspective for something, you know. I think we are within a system where those people in the rural areas want to make the change for themselves and according to their own project of democracy, direct democracy, not this representative democracy and things like that, right? They want to make it by themselves. That's why they are promoting the local development, and hopefully a new system can be built from the grassroots levels to the national levels, thanks to the local development, the regional development, and things. Because in 1986, one thing, very important thing happened. The peasants, the former slaves, you know, entered the political scenery, and they want to their voice to be heard through the ballots, but they can use it. That's why you got the coup against Aristide. You had all these tribulations, you know, all the problems made to the Haitian government to get access to money, right?
Talking about the second coup, 2004.
Exactly, right? And that's it. Those people want their voice, are ready to valorize their voice to their own project of development and ruling this country. And this elite, the people, the gens d'affaires, the business classes, you know, they are, you say, intercepting all the process. No, not intercepting, intercepting, yes?
Yeah. Intervention.
Interference.
Interference,
right? You know, preventing these flows, you know, or the move, or the tide to go where it should go in the proper sense, you know, of the people. And you have this accomplicity of the political elite of this. They are not talking about elite, because elite can be more people-minded. But those ones, I don't know how to call them. Anyway, but we call them elite, you know. And they are allied with the international community to just alleviate poverty. But those people who are under their feet, right, don't want this alleviation. Yes, it could be a step towards the suppression of alleviation, the suppression of alienation of exploitation. And that's a different prospect. No? We used to say that even for the working classes, they were not provided a decent salary. And I think the next move for the unions here should be to claim for a decent salary, you know, decent work, decent conditions of life.
What would that be based on the cost of living? What would a decent salary be?
The Ministry of Social Affairs said it could have been, you know, between 250 and 300 goods as a minimum wage.
Per day?
Yes. Before all this debate, you know, all this talking about the minimum, they said that 200 could be acceptable. But when the parliaments, you know, make their laws, inspired by our president, it was below $200.
$150, right? Yeah.
So that means really nothing, since the real value of money is nosediving in this situation. And we need, and if I talk like that, it was to get to you people with whom we can demystify, you know, the situation here in Haiti. There is not, they said change, as I said, you know, it's written or they are They said it, they did the what, but nothing, you know, in fact, completely nothing. And an advocacy for international solidarity now, you know. During the coup, we used to say that, the first coup against Aristide, we said that our fight here is with the people we got from the state, you know, from the civil society. We are both, you know, at the both ends of a football or battlefield, right? So we have to know how to get together so that we can build a new alternative, not only for the states, but also for ourselves. But in the meanwhile, we are trying to do our best or to survive, because the way things are moving, okay? And we want also to take things, you know, in charge for our people. I think the new alternative is for these Haitian people to rebuild the country, to create new conditions, you know, of living for people both in the countryside, in the urban establishments, the slums mainly, and from a national point of view, to reconquer, you know, our sovereignty as nations and as a people. Got everything here.
Right.
As a project for tomorrow.
That's a very important context for us to understand for all we're taking in otherwise.
Yeah.
Is the minimum wage in existence now?
Yes, it's 150. Excusez-moi, yes, monsieur. Salaire minimum, non, c'est pas combien? C'est pas 150 gouttes?
150 gouttes? Pour moun travail dans factory?
125 gouttes? It's less than 150. It's 125 gouttes.
Cover the free
trade? Non, rien toi. Il y a 125, il y a 150, il y a 200. Et même temps, majorité moun travail dans factory, ils dit c'est 150. Le Parlement te dit ça. Quoi ça?
125 is your minimum.
125?
Does it cover the free trade
zone? Yes, that's the money owned by the free trade zone. The salary, the minimum wage in that area. Yeah. Why? Anyway.
How can we find out? Where was the minimum wage? I saw the official publication.
Where?
Right, they had to publish it. With the PGA, salary minimum. And then we list. You think you gain trois?
No. The minimum is just one, you know, 125 gouttes là. That
no, they made it more complicated. I mean, I don't know. But what I read in the Nouvelle Liste was that they made it more complicated than that. That there were three tiers. And that the.
No, they said that actually, right now, people own more than the minimum wage. You know?
Peter,
okay. Well, but no matter, it doesn't matter, you know, what is the official minimum daily wage is 125 goods.
Yeah.
If you know that we need more or less 42 goods to get one US dollars, that it's more or less.
So, $3
And that's in the real salary, you know, even for people who are not working in these free trade zone areas, you know, the salary is lower.
Yeah, I mean, the informal economy.
They can't afford that.
I have so much questions.
Yeah. But,
finally.
You know, finally it came, right? But
can you give us an idea of the price of living?
Yeah, price of living.
Minimum just price. Before coming, I asked the person who is working at home that for a marmot of rice,
how many leaf?
More or less five and a half. £5. Yeah, it's about $50. $50 Haitian dollars. You have
no, 50 Haitian dollars.
It would be 250 gourds. Because the half mammoth, you know, is 25 gourds, right? And you need 10 small mammoths and a half to get that's mean 10 by 5, that's 50. And the benefits, you know, is the half aside, right? And that's one thing. For the beans, we have between $30, $30, it's 150 goods, and none.
Three times five, 250 goods. So
it's between
that.
Yes. Right? Okay. But we have red the Haitian beans, you know, for $30, Haitian dollars, that means 150 goods. And the imported beans, you know, is $50. That means 250 goods. For oil,
for mammoth.
Mammoth of beans, mammoth of
right, 5 pounds.
And for the oil, you know, the
gallon,
gallons, you know, it's more or less $50 too. So, no including transportation, no including, no including roof, you know, nothing for leisure, you know, not at all. Nothing for shoes.
Water. I mean, are they buying water?
Yeah, most of the time. You know, water is very important, you know, at the cost of like a bucket. But it's very expensive. All the running system, you know, water running system is in chambers.
That's 5 pounds. Oh, George, how much is water? Like
5 gallons? It depends, between 10 and 15 goods.
You don't keep those, but you pay it. Good, $2, no? You don't book it,
L'eau qu'on a...
Coligan?
Non, non, pas Coligan. L'eau qu'on a dans le robinet. 50 gouttes, comme ça. Moins? Il y a 5 gouttes. Un petit petit, yo. Mais si tu as un bonbon qui est un peu de bagaille peinture, yo. Vous comprenez? Ça, vous comprenez? Vous avez tout facilement 25 gouttes.
25
gouttes. $2 or $3, you know.
Those are what,
that's things that we could,
mm-hmm,
we can verify. Yeah. That's things that can be verified.
It have to be 25
minutes
if it's Haitian dollars.
No, it's 5.
But it's very expensive, you know, because you can't rely on one big bucket, you know, of water for a day. So
25 gourds for the 5 gallons.
Yeah,
something.
And since it's not glow purifier.
No.
That's not the purified water. That's not the water that comes out.
Not treated. Not with it. That is from the running water system.
So you get an idea, how much is the gallon polygon?
It's about $9 to $10 for 45 goods. That's 5 gallons, 45 goods. But we could buy it for $5, 25 goods. It depends on if it's Cooligan, it's $9. If it's through the bone blow, things like that, you know, the water that you can buy at this Camep stationery, you know, it's 5 goods a gallon. That's been 25 goods, 5 gallons.
Who owns the water company?
Supposedly the government. But it's working so badly, you know, that particularly.
Well, maybe they do own it.
But the big news also was the Teleco selling. Finally, they attributed to a Vietnamese company.
Teleco just got sold?
For $59, yes.
To a Vietnamese company?
Yeah.
You've had for how much money? For a while.
$59.
Millions?
Million.
Don't feel bad. In the United States, most of the water companies are owned by private.
Vietnamese companies?
Not government.
Yeah.
That's bizarre.
Yeah. Guys, we've had some questions over here for a while.
Three questions, and two are general, and I think other people have the same thing, and the third one is real simple. Who are these NGOs? Just a little list.
What?
Who are these NGOs?
NGOs, you have CARE. You have
the ones we don't
PADF.
Yeah.
Pan-American Development Foundation. You have World Vision. You have Food for the Poor. You have CHF. Don't ask me for the meaning. But any, it's run, you know, funded by USAID people.
CHF.
No pill. There is a lot.
How many would you estimate there are now?
Thousands.
I dare not.
Over 1,000.
Save the children.
I can't say that. It won't
save
be serious.
Yeah.
Save the children, but we don't hear of, as.
They're the ones with the fancy.
Yeah. Save the children. Yeah, they are here, but they are not like what vision, you know. But when you have care, that's been, you have.
So the other two are, how are the people to rebuild? The research yesterday over and over, we just need Aristide. We do need Aristide. But the other is, what about the elections?
Ah, that's the big issue.
Yeah.
No, we don't know exactly what's going, you know. I think that people should abstain, you know.
Wait
time. From voting.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we know that the election has not to do with the participation of the people. You know, it's not the voting. That's the counting of the votes, you know, and the way they are doing it, you know, it's not satisfactory at all. But the international community, mainly the Canadians, you know, who provide the majority, the big part of the funds, you know, they don't care. They said everything is okay. The process had been observed, you know, respected, so no problem. But the people, they don't recognize themselves really through the elected representatives. And I don't know. It will require some 2 hours, you know, to try to get through this, because it's really difficult. It's tricky, very tricky. They said that they are trying to be transparent, but they did. But here we said that it's not in the voting, in the counting,
yeah,
that all the things happen. And sometimes it happens, it occurs, you know, in the night, and you don't have observers, you know, to.
But it's really happening now.
Yes.
Because by disallowing the party that represents the majority of the people.
But the fact is also that the parties are not representative at all. Representative, but the directions, you know, there is, how can I put it, you know, they don't trust, the people don't recognize themselves, you know, in the political parties. They really don't. And what is being done right now by Préval, what he did by trying to rebuild this espoir into this unity, is to blow a severe coup, right, to the political parties. They were reduced, you know, to the really minimum. I don't think the party, the political party, could be a good structure, you know, for IT. And the people are moving into what they call platforms, into their own organizations, to try to exert their power, you know, at the grassroots level. And also to make themselves heard, you know, just in case they were given the opportunity.
What do you think about the danger level of the situation?
About the?
The danger.
Risk of violence.
Oh, thanks to Minister, no problem.
Okay,
that they are part of the game themselves, you know. But I think, you know, the Haitians, you know, are not really that violent. They are not that violent, not at all, you know. But when they said no, you know, or they make noise, it's really when they had enough, they are fed up, you know, and they said no. But they are very patient. What happened after Préval elections, you know, when they went to Montana, which is symbol, you know, but it was, you know, friendly, you know, it was like a party, you know, that they went there. But this symbol as the virtue, you know, of terrorizing the elite, you know, because they don't want to hear the noise coming from the people voices.
But even the incident at the Hotel Montana was represented in the international press as, you know, this riot where the Haitians went up there and were violent, etc. So is there a risk that, you know, if there's any protest against these elections, it will be similarly represented as something out of control?
You know, you can't preview things, really.
Right.
You know, it's very... I don't have the words, you know, perhaps I'm too tired by talking it so long. But it's imprevisible. Mm-hmm. You can't see, really. It's not certain,
right.
You know, you can't be certain of anything.
Okay.
Because the Haitians, you know, had surprised a lot of people. When they are expected to be noisy, they are very silent. And we, when you don't expect them to be noisy, and then they create surprise. You know. How? I think it's true. It's through the organization. They are trying to build their own organization. That's what I suggest to my right, my left liberal.
Yeah.
I do prefer to talk
about
it. To rightist, right? But they are trying, you know, to build. It's this kind of democracy of proximity, right? This kind of music, you know, that they make them heard, you know, because at the same time they are conveying a lot of message, you know, a lot of protest, a lot of what they want, a new picture, you know, for the situation. But in the countryside, you have organizations, you know, at the grassroots levels, they are flourishing. You have what they call now platforms, you know, unions, you know, a RISO network,
networks,
you
yeah.
know, of organizations working together. But you don't know, nothing can know exactly what can get out of that. But I think that's the way the people are organizing themselves, and it's outside of the political parties.
So, and outside of Port-au-Prince?
It's paradise. Here it's, what do you say, infernal? It's
infernal.
Infernal.
Yeah.
It's a hell. Here, Port-au-Prince is hell. In any kind of thing. And even here, we don't have this kind of killings that people used to relay, right? Things are really quiet, you know. We have more security here than last year, for example. Right?
For what?
Security.
For last year. Security. The situation
security.
Is really calm.
Security.
Right? But the fact is also because of impoverishment of the level of misery, can put it, you know, of the people. You know, there's, you don't have this activity. You know, these things that this car, right, is trying to animate, right, the area. But years ago, those kind of things were not needed, you know. There was activities, people, you know, had been outside. But here, really, despite the statements by the government about the people, the situation is really difficult. It's very hard.
Hard.
Hard. Anyway, but I don't know. I feel bad, you know,
yeah.
to be. No, I can't put it.
Yeah.
Something that I'm trying to do. I'm trying to put the three times,
yeah.
trying to show the move, you know. Excuse me, we can put a fibra. Like it. Where is Kevin? Yeah.
Your activism, what do you do?
Beating people like this. and meeting people.
Are you willing to consider traveling to the United States and Canada to talk? It's a big trip, but think
if
about
I, if I'm invited,
well,
yes.
Okay.
If I'm not invited, I have enough plenty of things to do here.
Okay.
But I would like to go because I think that we have to build a network of solidarity because we will have to face a wave of change again. And you better, I wish you are prepared to help because what happens also is that after the coup, 1995, when ISIS came back, it's as if it was the end for solidarity from the civil society, mainly from the United States. You know, it was as if it was the end of that, you know. But people kneel. And now that some organizations, you know, are trying to rebuild themselves, there are a lot of projects, you know. Sometimes there is a, when you are testing, a thirst, you know, for formations in leadership, in organization managing, you know, they have for themselves sometimes some school that they need, some fountain or water, you know, potable water that they need to build, a lot of activities, but mainly informations and also in some projects of their own, you know. For example, the what they call the community restaurant, right? And center of food provisions, you know.
Yeah. What's the Venezuelan
community?
Well, yeah, the Venezuela model, missions. Community missions.
Missions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
We have all these people waiting.
I thought that's what Kevin was going to take.
Yeah,
thank
I feel comfortable.
Much.
I don't
thank
know.
You very, very much.
I'm ready to do that, but if we can go somewhere else, you know,
yeah.
I would like to.
We're supposed to meet with these.
Well,
maybe. So,
you guys,
when are you leaving?
We're not sure about that. We're not
sure,
right? There's people coming here to meet as well, so
yeah,
we'll
so,
wait to see.
No.
Yeah.
So, Kevin, I think that it's a pity.
Yeah.
But.
And we met before, you know, like in 2007. I think I met you once briefly at Hospice St. Joseph.
At Hospice St. Joseph, yes.
Yeah,
yes, that's what the feeling that I had when I saw you.
Yeah, but you had a beard before, so
yes.
I didn't recognize you.
Yeah. Okay, then.
Did Kevin invite you tomorrow morning to Matthew
25? No, we didn't talk about that.
Well, you're invited.
Yeah. Tomorrow morning,
yeah.
I'll see what I can do.
Party.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it's traditional party.
When? What time? The time.
I think
you
said we're going to start around
10-ish. 10.
10.
10.
Oui.
10 in the morning.
Yeah.
Oui. Let's we'll see what I can do.
It ends at 10 at night.
No, it would be better, you know, to begin tonight and end at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So I hope you understand more or less, you know, what I said.
Yeah.
As you put, you know, it's comfortable, you know, it comforts me, you know, by saying that you understand.
Yeah, we
so.
I thank you for coming, and I think it was important to give
that
foundation.
Thanks for your patience, too. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Yes.
Well, okay. Yeah.
Where did you do your
you got the chance.
I almost.